This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Good evening, I'm David Gale and welcome to The Informer. Tonight I'm joined by Paul McClure. On tonight's Informer, we're travelling into regional Victoria, firstly to Shepparton and then to Bendigo. Things happen outside of our major cities, sometimes inspiring things. Goulburn Valley Pride is based in Shepparton. Greater Shepparton's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex and queer and allies social support group. Out in the Open was developed to address some of the inequalities faced by the local GLBTIQ and allied communities and to build a more inclusive community in Greater Shepparton. Everyone is involved to get is welcome to get involved. In 37 days' time, Goulburn Valley Pride hosts their Out in the Open festival, and tonight on The Informer we are joined by Festival Director Damien Stevens. Welcome, Damien.
Good evening, folks.
Good to have you on the show. How did this festival start? How long has it been going for?
So it began in 2012. There were several local people in the, health and youth sector who felt that Shepparton had done really significant work for the last 15 years in community development and really engaging well with LGBTI people. And so it was a natural progression, really, to have a festival like all the other, you know, cities and regional areas like Daylesford who are doing really great things in a country area.
Yeah, look, I was going to mention about Daylesford because Daylesford is quite close to Melbourne. I mean, it's about an hour and a half away, and a lot of people from Melbourne do go up to the Daylesford Chill Out Festival. Do you get very many people from major cities, whether it be from Melbourne or from Sydney, come to the Out in the Open Festival?
Yeah, we do get a few. We've taken annual surveys and collected postcodes from people that are coming from near and far. And we certainly attract a lot of locals, which is the aim of our festival. We really want to celebrate community diversity and engage with our, you know, local communities. But we do have, people coming from neighbouring regional centres like Bendigo and Albury-Wodonga, Benalla, but certainly Melbourne and even international guests, which was a surprise. I'd love to think they came to Shepparton just for the festival, but I think they might have just been passing through town.
Look, I doubt if they were up there fruit picking. So who was that international guest?
Who was the guest? Well, yeah. It may have been fruit pickers. I certainly can't name them. They filled in the survey like many of our attendees, but they were travellers.
Mm. Okay. Now, look, the festival goes for 4 days. What sort of events should we expect? I know that it kicks off with, I think, an opening night that's a drinks night or something, and the official opening on the Thursday.
Yeah. So it began in 2012 with only two events and has in 5 years grown to 16 events and spilled out to 4 days. So you're right, the first event is the evening, Thursday night, the 3rd of November, at the Noble Monks in Shepparton. We're calling it The Gathering. It's welcome drinks. It's the launch of the festival. We'll have some queer musicians and some food and some wine to really welcome people to Shepparton and kick the 4 days off.
And then on the Friday, I think there's some informational talks, there's workshops, that sort of stuff. And then you have Ro Allen coming up to, there's a dinner and a cabaret on, is that right?
Indeed, you've got the full program there. The Friday morning, we have a trans and gender diverse youth inclusive practice training session. That's a mouthful, but some wonderful partners from Melbourne coming up to deliver some really important training to our broader welfare sector. The afternoon, we do have Rowena Allen, the Commissioner, and a few other representatives from culturally and linguistically diverse communities and our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, really getting to the nitty-gritty of better supporting the diversity within diversity in the afternoon before a huge welcome community dinner with the Commissioner, Michael Dalton, emceeing the event. There'll be, you know, 60-plus people at that dinner, I'm sure. And then Kay Sarah will be entertaining us that same evening with a 9 o'clock cabaret show, Bazaar Kay Sarah.
Now, those workshops and information sessions, they're rather important in country and regional Victoria because some of the, especially young people in country areas of Victoria, are some of the most vulnerable people in our state.
They are. So I may be the director of the festival, but during my day job at Kildonan Uniting Care, we work, we run the diversity project, and we run something here in some capacity for the last 20 years, specifically focused on young people. So young people between the ages of 12 and 25 is who we look after, who we're funded to support through the Healthy Equal Youth Grants from the Department of Health and Human Services. Young people are at greater risk for all sorts of things, related to homophobia, biphobia, transphobia. And it is greater in a rural and regional area, you know, with all sorts of things from self-harm to suicide ideation to drug and alcohol misuse and risk of homelessness too. So it's really important work.
It certainly is. And you mentioned there homophobia and transphobia. I'm just interested to know how's the festival been received since it started in 2012?
Yeah, so you'll notice probably that we don't call it Shepparton's Gay Festival or, Pride or anything like that. In fact, we specifically named it Out in the Open, quite a broad term, and celebrating community diversity are the three words we use to describe it.
Mm.
That wasn't necessarily to avoid homophobia or biphobia or transphobia. It was simply an acknowledgement that in the rural and regional community, where although we have worked for 20 years and most certainly have reduced, rates of violence and discrimination, and improved the mental health and wellbeing outcomes for LGBTI people, that we still felt there was a conversation that needed to be had, that there was a broader community that we wanted to engage, and that we didn't necessarily want to put a huge focus on the Rainbow Pride elements of this festival. We just wanted to have a carnival day too, where everybody was welcome, a petting zoo, a jumping castle for the kids, just a really broad range of events over the weekend too that really appeal to everybody. So,
And also wanting those people to feel comfortable as well.
That's right. Because I think sometimes if you have a big, let's say, a street march in the middle of Shepparton in an otherwise, quiet country town, mm-hmm. it can be a bit of a shock and a bit of a surprise to people who, might not be expecting that kind of thing. And we don't want to alienate. We want to, communicate and engage.
It can also be a little bit difficult for people wanting to be involved in that. And, I mean, I think Out in the Open is actually quite an inspiring name that you've come up with as well. So, look, there's also other events on. There's a carnival in the Queen's Gardens. Or is that going to be moved this year?
No, this year it's
Victoria Gardens before, and you've moved to Queen's Garden.
Yeah, so it's in the Queen's Gardens, and we're outgrowing it, though. I think mm-hmm. the council would love us to move to the park lake next year or the showgrounds. And our lake is beautiful with, lots of appeal, so I reckon we may have to move there and include a licensed area next year as well.
Okay.
But currently the Queen's Gardens is beautiful and really houses well our 50 stall holders, and a great day of entertainment.
I notice also there's a dinner, there's the glamour party. On Sunday you have a brunch and also Low Res, which is a fantastic choir. They'll be up there in Shepparton as well. You've got a movie on as well. The pass for the actual festival is only $50, which I thought, that's pretty accessible as well. Do you get a lot of young people attend the festival?
Yeah, we do. And Golden Valley Pride, who runs the festival, is a registered, charity, not-for-profit organisation. So we do have, over the last 12 months, for example, many local and statewide generous people donating to Golden Valley Pride to be able to in cases where $50 is still not accessible for young people, mm-hmm. to really be able to support our young people, especially who might be on lower or no incomes, and really engage in a safe place. And have a good time at a festival that's local for them.
It's fantastic to have you joining us on The Informer tonight, Damien Stevens, and we will make sure that we put up the details of the festival on our website as well with the podcast after the program. Thanks again, Damien.
Thanks. We'll look forward to seeing you there. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Okay, established around about 12 years ago, FABCV is a volunteer-run organisation that seeks to connect members of the LGBTI community and run community-based events in Bendigo. This long weekend, they have an event, and the organiser of their monthly events, Jacob Quiglin, is on the line. Hello, Jacob.
Hello, good evening.
Good to have you on the line. Look, I just wanted to know, firstly, what does FABCV mean? FABCV.
It stands for Friends of Life of Bendigo Central Victoria.
So I was trying to figure that one out. Look, I was scratching my head and I said to Paul this afternoon, you know, fab
it's
something.
It's got an obvious definition.
All right. Look, can you tell us about this weekend's event?
Yeah, for sure. Look, we do a monthly dance night at a local venue called The Icon. So the last Friday of every month, so obviously this month is the 30th. It starts at 9 o'clock and goes through till late. We have virtually the whole venue to ourselves. It's a very safe place with the backing of the venue to support the local community to come together and have a bit of fun.
Look, it does sound like fun. You've been sort of taking over the group for the last couple of years, and it's been around for 12 years. So it's been going for a long time. People aren't bored of going to your monthly events, or have you just been changing it up lately and people are getting more interested?
No, look, well, as you said, I took it over approximately just under 2 years ago. With a new addition, we've sort of been doing bi-monthly themed nights, which has been a bit of fun. Next month is our next theme night, which is aligned to the Mexican Day of the Dead Festival, and we're going to be having a local professional face painting service along for the night to do some proper sugar skull designs for people if they so desire. So it's been a lot of fun, and look, I think there's a really good energy that's been developed in the last 2 years, so I'm really proud of where it's come from since I took it over.
Well, I mean, you're a local hero in a way, just the fact that you're volunteering your time and helping out with this sort of thing. This weekend's event, is this the one where you're getting buses to and from Ballarat?
Yeah, but this is the first time a local company by the name of Blackboard Bus has approached me looking to do safe and friendly transport to and from events, which is fantastic. I was all for that. We have got, this is the first time we've tried to do a bus from Ballarat to Bendigo. So there's a separate event up under the FAB page on Facebook where people can get the information and the stops and pricing for that.
Mm-hmm.
And looking to connect the regional centres, because I think that's also a very important key part.
Sure. How did the actual group start?
To be honest, I'm not 100% on the history. I know that it was under the banner of the Country Awareness Network when it initiated, which is a fair while ago. Obviously, times have changed. I think it was a lot of... I respect completely the bigger push that it would have taken to establish these kinds of events. But I really want to try and get a couple of non-alcohol-based events happening locally as well, because I think that can turn a few people off.
And you yourself grew up in country Victoria, didn't you, Jacob? You grew up in Wedderburn.
Yeah, I did.
And you experienced a little bit of homophobia when you were growing up, and did that drive you to do this sort of thing with FABCV?
Yeah, it's definitely part of the motivation for me, absolutely. It took a little while to develop the strength to really challenge what was happening around me in the beginning, but I do believe that I take a stand where I can now much more confidently than what I used to. And I guess my main prerogative is to be able to maintain spaces where people can actually come and be themselves and not be fearful of people's reactions to anything. So, and I'm really glad that we have at least one very prominent nightclub in Bendigo who's prepared to support that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, I suppose it's to do with the fact that, we're never the only gay in the village, I suppose, and you're trying to break down isolation, though, in a way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, I know when I knew I was gay when I was 11 years old, I probably didn't have the language to describe the experience of what I was thinking or feeling until about 16, 17. And, you know, I also feel like there's, as much as we focus on the bracket of 12 to 25 as a youth bracket, I feel like the older you get in that bracket, the drop-off is quite scary as well after you hit 25. So my focus is to try and engage adults as well as young people in that end of the spectrum as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the responsibility as you get older is actually to pass on the gifts that you've been given as well through, you know, something like this volunteer-run organisation, which is fantastic. So do you see that your monthly events make a difference to GLBTIQ people in your region?
I do, and I'm really quite touched when I hear the anecdotal experiences from people who do attend regularly, because it does provide an opportunity for them to get out and meet people and be social, which is part of the struggle, really. And as you said before, isolation in regional areas is quite prominent. People not necessarily knowing where to go or who to speak to. So part of my motivation is to try and provide that inner space that is safe. And actually, you mentioned just before speaking to me, Damien's at the Open Festival. We're also looking at doing a bus over to that as well. So hopefully we might be able to do something there.
Yeah, look, it is very inspiring. It also means that people will feel more comfortable in their own hometown in Bendigo, because, you know, we assume that everybody grows up and goes, you know what, I'm leaving this country town. But, you know, there's no reason why everybody has to move to a large city as well. So it's great work you're doing. What we'll do is we'll put a link to your Facebook page onto our podcast after the show. And it's fantastic talking to you tonight, Jacob. And thanks for being on The Informer.
Look, thanks for the opportunity.
That's great. Okay, still in Bendigo, the Victorian AIDS Council has a Bendigo-based program serving the Loddon Mallee region. VAC Country, or VAC Country, provides community-led health promotion initiatives that support their vision of a future without HIV and a world where all sexually and gender-diverse people live with dignity and equal rights, participating fully in our society. Tonight on The Informer, we're joined by the program coordinator of VAC Country, Harry McNulty.
Hello, how are you?
Good to have you on the show, Harry. Firstly, can you tell us about your role in Bendigo?
Well, so VAC Country are a very new program, David, in Bendigo. We've set up probably about 6 to 7 months ago. There was another organisation called CAN, and they've since wrapped up their services, and we are now the new provider alongside Bendigo Community Health Services. And really what we're doing in the region is providing education, support and resources around HIV and hepatitis C and sexual health to the wider community across Bendigo. But we stretch quite far, actually. So we cross over to Mildura, Swan Hill, and Kerrang, right down to Macedon Ranges and Bendigo, and right where we are at the minute. So,
yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Agreement.
Yeah, I was going to ask why the VAC decided to set up shop in Bendigo, but obviously it's pretty central to a lot of the Western District and also the Northern District of Victoria.
Yeah, totally. And we wanted to, you know, continue the work that we do within the metropolitan area, but also this opportunity allowed us to have a regional site. It also allowed us to look at our programs and how we can adapt them and how we can amend them to work for a regional location. So it was a really exciting opportunity for the Victorian AIDS Council to step in to this space. And we've provided a range of our services across the state for a very long time. Some of our HIV community support services run across the state, and we have some of that running in Ballarat and Geelong as well. But this project's really exciting. We're really we find it, you know, fantastic to be in the regional location and looking at, you know, our services and what we can do. And we actually have a drop-in that operates once a week on a Wednesday. So that's really an opportunity for the community here in Bendigo to drop in and find out what we're doing and how they can engage, if there's any volunteer and opportunities, and really to find out any information that they would like.
So what sort of services do you offer, Harry?
So we're really, at the minute, we're information, support and referral. So we act as a referral hub for the community and the services. We also provide a range of services for the HIV positive community. Mm-hmm. Once a month we have a peer support group that meets at the community hub space. We also have the wonderful Linda Horn from the David Williams Fund coming down once a month. And David Williams Fund, for people that don't know, is a financial support and counselling for people who are living with HIV. Mm. We also run a range of other community support services for people living with HIV in the region as well. There's some really exciting things that are going to be happening over the next few months. We've got the Drama Down Under, which is one of our sort of main campaigns that we've run in Melbourne for a very long time. Mm. That campaign is going to be appearing in Mildura. It's going to be appearing in Swan Hill, Castlemaine and Bendigo. It's going to be on the front of buses. So it's going to be the front time, wow, or the first time that Frank has been on the front of a bus in
Frank
Bendigo.
In his own, yeah.
I'm just sort of imagining a whole lot of letters to the editor around the country. But at the same time, that just reinforces my own misconception of what's happening in the country. I mean, at the same time, your services, certainly you're talking about HIV-positive people, but not all HIV-positive people are from the country. There are a lot of people from Melbourne that may make a tree change and move out to those country and regional areas. And I suppose we'd almost expect the VAC to be there and perhaps be a little bit disappointed if we didn't realise that it was there. And of course, this service that you've set up in Bendigo makes a big difference. The PrepX trial, I was at the launch a few weeks ago, and of course the VAC is one of the major partners in this trial, along with the state government and the Burnett Institute. Is there very much interest in a place like Bendigo about the PrepX trial?
Oh, definitely. We've had a massive amount of interest in PrEP. We're actually going to have two clinic sites where people can enroll for PrEP. For people that don't know that are listening, PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is a daily pill used to prevent HIV. Currently, at the minute, we're very lucky in Victoria to have an access scheme under the Daniel Andrews Labor government. And it's really fantastic that the scheme is reaching out into regional communities. And, you know, it's actually going to reach out as far as Mildura as well. So we have a lot of people who are at risk of HIV who are choosing this prevention technology to prevent them and keep them safe. So it's really fantastic that Bendigo is going to be one of those sites for the service. I know at the minute I just spoke to one of the managers actually on Friday night at the Grunt launch in Melbourne, and they made me aware that the ethics application has been applied for, that it's currently sitting with ethics at the moment, and they're waiting over the next few days just because there's some differences in how they'll deliver it through doctors and nurses in the regional centres and what they will do in Melbourne. So,
and of course the trial also goes right as far as pharmacies and basically to normalise the whole process of the trial. So can you make sure you let us know when the trial is up and running in Bendigo, because we'll certainly be interested about that. Also, how else do you assist the most vulnerable groups in Bendigo?
Really, it's about providing connection and providing a space for people that they feel safe, where they can come and meet and come and access information. So really, we have a lot of partnerships with a lot of service providers in the region, and it's really about linking those up and making sure that we're all aware that VAC Country is here and we're here to support people and provide access to that information. We've also got a few events coming up in October that I'm quite excited about as well. And we have Mental Health Week, and Cobalt Community Health Services have a fantastic program of events. We have partnered with them to put on a Q&A session on Friday the 14th of October. Mm-hmm. It's going to be showing the film Scrum. I don't know if anyone has seen that, but it's about a bunch of rugby boys, I think.
Yeah, I know. It's soon to be released. I think I've got an invitation to go and see one of the previews. There's a few fundraisers around at the moment, but yeah, certainly anticipated movie to go and see, so it's great that you've got that to show.
We're going to be talking about, you know, men and masculinity and sport and all the complex issues around that. So that's going to be in Wood End in the Richardson Hall, and that's going to be on Friday the 14th of October. I'm sure we'll have a Facebook page set up in the next few days, so it would be fantastic if you could share that on your page and promote it to the community.
Yep. Yeah, we certainly will. Also, confidentiality, that's important in a country town.
Oh, totally. Yeah. There's lots of issues around confidentiality. Everyone knows everyone in a small country town, and You know, it's always something that we hold at the heart of our services, maintaining confidentiality of anybody who's accessing our services, whether they are HIV positive, whether they're questioning their gender identity, whether they're, you know, questioning their sexual orientation, something that we, you know, think very strongly of here.
Look, Harry, it's great having you on the line. It's great work that's being done up in Bendigo. We just wanted to take a break from Melbourne tonight, so you've been able to provide that for us. We'll also put up links to your website on the
Fantastic.
Informer podcast after this show. And thanks very much for joining us tonight.
Thanks very much for having me, David. Thank you.
Of course, The Informer will be on tomorrow night at 6:30, and you'll be able to listen to Dean Beck, who will be hosting The Informer. There was also a mention about queer generations, growing up queer in the 90s and now. It's an interactive panel discussion. Now, Ruby mentioned about it last night. There's a forum on here at the moment in Melbourne, in Franklin Street, which has already started. But tomorrow night, on the 28th of September, tomorrow night, at the Sharla Studio at the corner of Bain and Lucan Streets in Bendigo, 6 p.m, there's an event there. It's the same event, but it's being held in Bendigo. So it just ties in well with the city that we've been talking about tonight. So if you also want to know about that, we'll put a link on our website, certainly on our podcast afterwards. Coming up next will be World Wide Wave. And tonight, of course, they're going to Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. So it's good night from me, David Gale.
And it's good night from me, Paul McClure.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.